We lift our eyes to the mountains. Where will our help come from? Our help is in the name of the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth. Beloved, peace to you and grace in God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's read together from our Lord's Word this evening, Psalm 105, verses 23 to 27. Let's read together. Then Israel came to Egypt. Jacob sojourned in the land of Ham. And the Lord made his people very fruitful and made them stronger than their foes. He turned their hearts to hate his people, to deal craftily with his servants. He sent Moses, his servant, and Aaron, whom he had chosen. They performed his signs among them and miracles in the land of Ham. This is the word of God. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, you know how we need to call on you for our daily bread, but how much more reason do we have to desire and crave the graces of your Holy Spirit for supplying our souls with heavenly food and especially with saving faith. And so we thank you that we can come together this evening to receive once again the means of grace, together as the gathered people of God. Thank you for bringing us here by your providence. We pray that you bless us as we worship you together. In Jesus' name, amen. For our missions consideration this evening, I want to just share with you what's already in the bulletin from a missionary couple in Lutsk in the Ukraine and from a pastor in Lviv in Ukraine as well. I know many of you have been hearing many versions of what is going on in the Ukraine and how Russia fits into that and who Vladimir Putin is and all of this. I have the fortune, or maybe the misfortune, of sharing a home with a political scientist who studied these things many years back, and it's always been her interest, so I get quite educated by it. In the home, I don't have to go on YouTube so much. I can just sit around the kitchen table and we can have a discussion about it. I am careful to steer clear from politics, both local and international, but I want you to know that I consider Vladimir Putin a very, very evil man. And I love the Russian people, as I think all of us do. The Russian people are just people like us, but they've allowed themselves to be abused by unconscionable ideologies and people, and they've inflicted great pain on many European people over many years, and they're doing that once again. And now some of our people in Ukraine are also suffering because of this. What we have in Russia is an incredibly corrupt system, with Putin at the top and all those billionaires in the middle, and they take it right down to local level. And we all know what they did to Alexei Navalny. I don't know how many of you know who Alexei Navalny is. He's a Russian lawyer, but he's mostly a YouTuber and a guy who's exposing the corruption in Russia. They poisoned him some time back on a plane between Moscow and another place, and he almost died. They've locked him up again. And what that's doing is, it's doing terrible things to ordinary people like you and I. We just want to worship on a Sunday evening. Now they have to hide away in dungeons, in underground dungeons. And one missionary couple in Lusk writes to us and say it's quite possibly our last means of correspondence for some time. That's just before the war started. War is imminent and the consequences are dreadful. A state of emergency has been declared and that will be followed by martial law. Young Ukrainian men from 16 years of age are being called up to serve in the military, and Ukrainians are being given the right to carry arms. I said to you this morning when I read that, young men of 16 years of age, we know what Erich Hartmann said, the German war ace in the Second World War, who was a pilot and he was a just man. And he hated war, and he said, war is a place where young people who don't know each other and don't hate each other kill each other. By the decision of old people who know each other and hate each other but don't kill each other. It is a terrible reality. To hear it is to know the truth. And now these 16-year-old men and women being called up to serve in the military. A major cyber attack is happening just now as we write, which has affected Ukrainian banks as well as government websites. Ukrainian citizens are being asked to urgently leave Russia. And our local currency is in free fall. That's terrible because Ukraine is already the second poorest country in the entire Europe. We are not leaving. How can we? As an elder in the assembly, my responsibility is to shepherd God's people at all times. Pray for all the displaced people who will become the responsibility of other European countries. Pray for these countries who will be taking strain caring for the refugees. Pray that NATO will take a firm, courageous stand against Russia sooner rather than later. Pray that the Lord will direct the hearts of the leaders in this difficult, sensitive situation. There are many other missionaries in Ukraine. My brother Chris and I have some Ukrainian friends from our involvement in classical music, and my brother with his art. And so they give us some inside information about their friends and people who are still in the Ukraine as well. And so as your pastor, and I think we as elders call upon you as a congregation to pray for our Christian brothers and sisters in the Ukraine. And pray for the missionaries and the pastors and the elders and the deacons, the men and women and children in Ukraine. We're going to listen tonight to the second petition in the Lord's Prayer, Thy Kingdom Come. And that is what is necessary in this world, that we pray that the Lord's kingdom comes and not the kingdom of warmongering little tyrants. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you as your people. We are your unworthy children, and we come into your most holy and heavenly presence to give you praise and glory for all your wondrous mercies and blessings. Especially that you've preserved us through this day and you have helped us to worship you on the Lord's Day. And you have now brought us to the end of this day, to the evening hour worship. We pray, Father, that you open our eyes every day more and more to see and consider your great and marvelous love to us, so that our hearts may ever draw nearer to you, even more to love you, to fear you, and to obey you, and to become like your Son. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you also touch our hearts with true contrition and repentance from all sin, and help us to not take pleasure in it at all, but to repent promptly as your Holy Spirit convicts us. We always depend on your grace and your hand in our lives. And we pray that you help us by your Spirit and awaken all our holy affections and pour out upon us what Zechariah calls the Spirit of grace and of supplication. And Father, we come before you with our many needs this evening. You've heard our meditation upon what is happening to our brothers and sisters in the Ukraine. We commit this missionary family to you. We commit every pastor and elder, every deacon, every member, every adherent and attendant to you in that place. And we pray that you keep your hand upon our brothers and sisters. We pray that you defend them from the forces of evil that are descending upon them. And Lord, as we know, Joshua was told, be still and know that I am God. The Lord is the one who fights our battles. Help us to know this, not to do things in our own strength and wisdom. We pray this evening, Heavenly Father, for your churches the world over, to pray faithfully, to be revived, to be reminded once again how important it is that we pray. We pray for the sick among us. We pray for Sandra and Eben and Jan as they recover in hospital. We pray for little Salumi as she undergoes that chemotherapy. We pray for Joshua Raven as he undergoes treatment. For Michael, that you heal his eye completely. We pray for Gottlieb and Miranda and Kerry Aiden and Henk and Florrie. For Pastor Wilhelm and Marina. For Dierwald and Ashley and Lydia. For Marinus and Zenny and Suzanne and Elena. For Sarah Jane and Elizabeth. For Selma and Blanche and Naomi and Tania Annette and George and Marika. For Cecile and Elena. And we thank you for the birth of little Arnold. Thank you for giving such a beautiful little brother to our little sister Katunka. We pray that you bless them. And as we turn to consider your word, we pray, Father, that you sanctify our minds and that you break our wills and apply them to your own. In Jesus' name, amen. Please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to read the Lord's Prayer together. Matthew chapter 6, from verse 9. We know these words well. We understand them inadequately. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We're going to continue to look at the Lord's Prayer this evening. We've seen so far that prayer is about resting. We've seen that prayer is about reverencing. And tonight we're going to see that prayer is about reigning. Reigning as in ruling. It has to do with the kingdom. And we're going to focus on that second petition in the Lord's Prayer. The first one we looked at last week. Hallowed be thy name. Which taught us that prayer is about reverencing. It's about bowing down to God and honoring his name. Tonight we will see that it is about reigning. Your kingdom come. And it follows well upon what I said earlier on, as we see people all wanting to reign on this earth. People are power crazy everywhere, grabbing at the means that God supplies for the sustenance of all people, those who have corrupt hearts and minds appropriated for themselves with absolutely no conscience and no concern for those whom they are depriving. In order to establish themselves in positions of power and prestige and prominence and pleasure. That's their kingdom. That's of the nature of the kingdom of a man. A fallen human being is their own glory, their own pleasure, their own substance, their own things. As I've always said to you, those three things, narcissism, hedonism, materialism, there they are again. Please don't send me a WhatsApp if you're tired of hearing it. Because that means you're not accepting it. And I will send you back a WhatsApp with 100 of them. Narcissism, hedonism, materialism. Puff me, please me, pay me. If you want it in Afrikaans, that's the clarion call of people. Bewonder me, bevredig me, betaal me. That's human hearts. And establishing a kingdom to make sure that everybody does just that. That's the kingdom that fallen human beings want to come. And it's a very sorry state of affairs, because the only one who deserves to be glorified is God, our Creator and Redeemer. The only one whose pleasure matters is the pleasure of the God of glory. And when it comes to having stuff, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And so that is his glory and his throne. We looked at his name last week. Hallowed be your name. Now we look at his throne. Your kingdom come. I hope you can see how this prayer is building in intensity and building Every following statement builds on the previous, one part upon another. When you and I come to know God as our Father, we find out just how truly wonderful He is, and that creates a desire within us to see Him glorified. And so we prayed, "Hallowed be Thy name." It also creates with us a hunger to see others come to know Him and all people worshiping Him. And so we pray, "Thy kingdom come." To pray, "Hallowed be Thy name," expresses a desire to see God glorified. But you and I must always know that He will never receive all the glory due His name until His kingdom comes, or it becomes a reality both in us as individuals, in our families and relationships, and in the world as a whole. And so we are told to pray, and to truly mean it when we do, "Thy kingdom come." And these are five little words, and they may be very short, but they contain a message that is truly, truly glorious. And we need to understand what each one of these words means to help shed some light on the power contained in that short little phrase. We commend to you a work by Thomas Watson on the Lord's Prayer. You cannot in this world read anything better on the Lord's Prayer than Thomas Watson. A close second is Herman Witsius from the Nadere Reformati in Holland many, many years back. Witsius and Watson, go read them. Don't be as I am. I don't read the books of people who are still alive. I read only the books of dead people, and I listen only to the music of dead people. And I have a very good reason for that, because you find things like Thomas Watson on the Lord's Prayer. I thought when I prepared this, maybe I must use some of this material, and I thought I'll just mess it up. You need to go read it for yourself. So what I'm giving you are some very inadequate but sincere thoughts about these five little words. "Thy kingdom come." These little words, "on earth as it is in heaven." To pray that His kingdom come is a glorious thing to do. Let's look at it. "Thy," your kingdom. That word is a pronoun. It refers to the Father which is in heaven. This kingdom we are talking about is not human in origin, and it's not human in nature. It's not a kingdom like you and I visualize, with castles and moats and knights and shining armor and ladies in waiting. It's a spiritual kingdom that belongs exclusively and totally and completely and eternally to only one, and His name is the God of glory. It's His kingdom. And that word kingdom comes from the Greek word basilia. It means royal power. It means kingship. It means dominion, or to rule or to reign. And so to pray, "Thy kingdom come," is to pray for God's reign to come upon earth. Everything that embodies God's glory, God's power, God's grace, God's love, God's mercy, God's character, God's relationships, God's interests, God's motives, God's work, God's purposes, all of that embody His kingdom. That's what you're praying for. Or you can say, "I don't really want to pray that. I'll ask Him to just build my little castle in Gasfontein." See which one serves you better. The one you're going to lose, the other one you can never lose if you belong to Him. When you pray for His kingdom, you pray for His royal power, His kingship. That heart that sent Christ to the cross, that's what you're praying for. To meet you in your daily failings and in your daily needs, that's what you're praying for. Come. Thy kingdom come. It's an imperative verb, and it means suddenly, insistently, and quickly. That's what come means. It has the idea of a sudden appearance of a new kingdom upon this earth that's under the total control and the exclusive control of God Almighty. And so to pray thy kingdom come is to pray for the sudden and absolute rule of God over the entire world. And I dare say this evening, if ever this world in my lifetime, and I'm sure in the lifetime of those older than me, has needed just that, it is now. You look what's happening in Ukraine. You look at the pandemic we've been through. You look at China rearing its head against Taiwan and the explosive things that that could cause as people try to establish their rule on this earth. You see what's happening in our own country and all across Africa and other countries with the widespread corruption and the power grabbing. We can say, if ever this world in our lifetime needed the kingdom of God to come, it is now. We do not want our children to see the kind of wars that are going on in Ukraine now. We do not want to see little warmongers like Putin and others establishing their kingdom with impunity. What we want to see is what we ask our Father. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Bring it on, Lord. Establish it in every quarter. Establish it in my heart, in my marriage, in my family, in my neighborhood, in my work. Establish it in my nation. Establish it on our continent and in this world. Everywhere. That's what we pray for. I cannot think how any Christian would pray for anything else. It's to pray for the sudden and absolute rule of God over the whole world. You know, that's what real praying is. It's about seeking God's rule in the world. And that's what makes prayer about reigning. Now let's look at this petition a little bit and see, first of all, this petition that God's kingdom come is prophetic. That's the first thing you need to understand. It is a prophetic petition. Because it's clear when you read the Bible that God often promises that there will be a future kingdom of righteousness upon this earth. And when you and I pray, thy kingdom come, we are asking for our Father to bring that kingdom to pass on the earth. And so we're asking God to fulfill all his promises and prophecies concerning his earthly kingdom. That's what you're asking him. You're saying, Lord, everything that you say in your word about your kingdom, Old Testament and New, everything you say and promise, establish it. We desire it. And listen, if it's not really what you want, don't be phony and pretend you do. Go repent first of the things you really want and see how inadequate they are to God's kingdom. Abandon them. Get your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, and his kingdom, and then you pray, thy kingdom come. And when you do, pray it like you mean it. That's what we need to do. Notice some of the passages that speak about God's kingdom. Isaiah 9 verse 6 to 7. Now listen to the word. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from now on, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Daniel chapter 2 verse 44. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. How are you doing so far? Do you believe your Bible? God says he's going to do that. Do you believe your Bible? Luke chapter 1, verse 32 to 33. He shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. It's your God speaking. Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Do you believe that? Do you want that? Or are you having too good a time with things as they are? Do you secretly believe that when his kingdom comes, you'll lose some of your stuff that you love more than that right now? I'm not just talking to you, I'm talking to me too. Look, I've been around, I know how our hearts work. That's why I'm speaking to you like that as your pastor. We need to stop this. We need to truly desire his kingdom. We need to let go of the stuff of this earth and desire his kingdom. We see the kingdom as prophetic. It's promised. It's promised by God, so you can know that it will be delivered. Just as surely as Jesus was born on this earth, that he lived here and died here, and that he was resurrected there, there will come a day when he will reign and rule here in power, in glory, and in righteousness. Do you yearn for that day? Do you? This future kingdom will be so different from any other kingdom that has ever existed on this earth. All earthly kingdoms are tainted by the effects of sin. There's evil at their core. It's their best works are like filthy rags before the Lord. In fact, you and I know that this world is under the dominion of Satan right now, according to 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. And all of creation groans to be free from its bondage. Paul says in Romans 8, 22, all the world lies under the grip of sin, but there's a day coming when Jesus himself will rule this world. That's the clear statement of the Bible, Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Do you yearn for that day? Is that what you're asking for when you pray, thy kingdom come? You see, right now, Satan, the god of this world, is blinding people to the truth of the gospel. In that day, he'll be put where he belongs, in the bottomless pit, bound in chains, unable to hinder or tempt anyone. The Lord will perform that. Jesus and Jesus alone can do these things. And someday, he will. And you must desire him to do it soon. He will bind the devil, restore all creation, glorify his bride, and claim dominion over all the earth. That's the essence of his coming kingdom. And so when we pray, thy kingdom come, we are echoing the groans of nature, voicing the great songs heard throughout God's throne in glory. And we are sharing the same desire that resides within the very heart of God himself. That's what you're praying. It's a noble prayer, and it's one that he will answer. To quote Alan Redpath again, he said, for this world which has known the sweat and blood, toil and tears of the man of sorrows will soon taste the glory of his reign. Do you believe that as a Christian? Do you know that you need to believe that to be a Christian? By the way, when the time comes for Christ to establish his kingdom, it will not be something that will come in increments. When it comes, it will be sudden and it will be insistent and complete, just as the word come implies. And so let's pray, thy kingdom come. And join our voices with John as he says, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." The petition is prophetic. Secondly, the petition is personal. It is personal also. Just as surely as we are praying for the appearance of a future kingdom, we're also praying for his kingdom to be realized right now in our own lives. You'll know that when you remember that the word kingdom means royal power, kingship, dominion, or to rule or to reign. So when you do pray, "Thy kingdom come," you are praying for God to rule and reign. Do you know where? In your own personal life. You're praying for him to reign there. You can't want him to reign everywhere else but leave you alone. If you want him to reign, you must want him to reign in your own heart, in your own personal life first, in your relationships. So it's ultimately a prayer that God will be enthroned within your own heart. And you and I should seek that. We be dethroned, and that Satan is dethroned, and that God alone is enthroned in our hearts. And the only way this can come to pass is if you are first of all saved. You cannot be under his rule until you know him as your Savior. But you cannot have him as your Savior unless you are also willing to have him as your Lord. He's the Lord Jesus Christ, and his Lordship cannot be divorced from his role as Savior. He's not a buffet where you pick and choose what you want. He's the glorious soul-feeding bread of heaven. You must have all of him. God's kingdom in your life and mine is not a democracy, by the way. He doesn't come and ask you for your obedience and your vote. He comes and asks you for your surrender. He wants and demands absolute kingship over our lives. And note, by the way, that the church is not a democracy either. I have another word for democracy. I am tempted to call it a demoncracy. It's an absolute theocracy. It's a rule of God. It's not under the rule of preachers or deacons, but under the control and authority of God alone. A lot of people don't like that, but that's the way it is. And so the petition is prophetic, it is personal, and lastly, it is practical. I want to highlight some practical aspects of this petition. When you pray, "Thy kingdom come," you're expressing a desire to see his work, his word, and his will, and his wonders advanced in the world today. You and I might as well face this fact. We will not make this world any better through our own plans and efforts ever. Humanity is not going to achieve that. In other words, we'll not be able to usher in his kingdom ourselves. He will bring it when he comes, and it will be established by his power alone. But we can have a part in seeing that our Lord's kingdom is spread abroad in the world around about us. And there are several ways in which we can do this. Let me give you three of them. First of all, through prayer. We are to pray for God's kingdom to come and really desire it, and for his will to be done in the world around about us. In your own life first, the lives of your loved ones, and everywhere beyond. Through prayer. Secondly, through submission. By yielding our lives to him, so that he can be king and we can be his subjects. And so that he can live through us. That's how you let his kingdom come. That's how it becomes practical. And as you do that, you know what you'll see? You'll see his love. You'll see his grace. You'll see his saving power to a lost and dying world. And lastly, through outreach. Through making disciples. I was saying the other day to some friends, I really have seen evangelicalism get cold on evangelism. You remember personal evangelism years back when a Christian got saved, he wanted everybody around him saved. How many of you remember that? Everybody must get saved now. Everybody must have what I just got. It seems to have slowed down, cooled off a little bit. But if you want the kingdom of God to come, you must tell people about it. And you must begin by telling them about the King of the kingdom. When we're properly burdened over a lost and dying world, we'll go into that world and spread the gospel message. Your desire will be to see others saved, and you'll do everything in your power to bring that about. And so I close by saying, you and I need to ask ourselves this question. What are we doing as individuals and as a church and families to spread God's kingdom in the world today? And what can we do to be more effective for His glory? Thy kingdom come. Our Lord put so much into those few words. With these few very inadequate thoughts this evening, where do you stand in relationship to the kingdom of God? Are you really praying for His kingdom to come? Do you know what it means, and is it really what you want? Are you doing all that you can to see that the message of the King, the gospel, is shared with the lost? Are you truly yielded to the lordship of the Lord Jesus over your own life? Is He really your King? Or are you still calling all the shots in your own life? You need to make sure this evening. We need to make sure also as a church. That here in this congregation, our deep desire as elders and deacons and members and adherents and friends and visitors, we desire in this congregation of our Lord this, Thy kingdom come. Let's pray. Father, we pray that You stir our hearts. Help us, Heavenly Father, to truly desire the kingdom of Your Son. We know that Jesus shall reign. We're going to sing that in a moment. And we pray that we sing it with as much conviction and desire as we muster when we pray, Thy kingdom come. In Jesus' name alone. Amen. Let's rise and sing together hymn 491, Jesus Shall Reign. Dearly beloved in Christ, the God of peace be with you until you see that happy kingdom and be forever blessed, until you see your Father's face and in his bosom you rest. Amen.